One day, one of his professors, Dr. Ian Picnic, stopped talking about the lesson for that season and began to put the gospel message to his class plainly and clearly. Listen to Brother Percy tell about it. "I thank God for an old soldier of the cross that got a bunch of us rough ones hemmed in one day and began to talk to us. He said, 'Some of you young men in here don't believe in God, but one time you were a church member, and some of you might have been deacons or preachers. The reason you don't believe there's a God is because you got into church without getting born again. Now, young gentlemen, you read the life story of every infidel in the world, and at one time they were a church member, deacon, or preacher. They got into church and were not saved, and it made infidels out of them. Now, young gentlemen, that's what happened to a bunch of you. I got hit in the face, but it made me meaner and meaner. One day while I was in my dormitory room, I turned on the radio. Someone was singing. I don't know who it was. The song went like this: 'I've waited too long to prepare. I've anchored my soul on a sin-cursed shore. I've waited too long to prepare.' God spoke to me and said, 'You're about in that place.' I snapped that radio off. God spoke and said, 'You get it back on. You listen to that.' I then became bitter at God. He let me see a little peep into hell. I began to cry for God's mercy. I caught myself and said, 'Now look here, I'm a sissy calling upon God.' God said, 'All right, if you want to think of me that way, you can have it.' It seemed like God just left me. I began to cry and beg God to give me one more chance, to please touch my heart one more time. In the meantime, an old boy by the name of Joe Odell had gone outside and laid down with his face on the ground and told God he would lay there and rot praying until he saved that wicked infidel inside. I didn't know this at the time. I felt God moving on me again. I knew that this was my last chance. I just let go and let God have it. I knew something happened inside. I wasn't struck blind. I didn't have to get a preacher. I didn't have to join the church to get baptized. I had had that quickening. I was saved. I was born again. My cusser wouldn't work anymore. My dancing, drinking, and gambling stopped immediately. I was a new creature in Christ Jesus." Percy Ray had now come out of darkness into light. He was now a ray for God. He would let his light shine brightly for Jesus on this earth for 59 years, 1932 to 1991. This took place at high noon on Saturday, March the 12th, 1932. He was 21 years old. On Sunday, March the 13th, 1932, he made his profession of faith in Kalibit Baptist Church soon after he was baptized in Muddy Creek. In a sermon about his conversion and call to preach, he said, "I offered God everything. I didn't want to preach. I offered to be the finest deacon or anything else. I had already made a mockery out of preaching, and I didn't want to face the world with it again." In another message, Brother Ray goes into greater detail explaining the battles he had in surrendering to preach. "But you let somebody get saved, and people will say, 'He's gone crazy over religion.' And that's what folk thought. When I changed, I changed. I was regenerated. That old life in me went out, and the new one came in. I've been having a good time ever since." Right after I got saved, I was offered a position in Hollywood to play the role of a gangster in some film. I was offered $500,000 a year for 5 years, with all expenses paid. I wrestled with that thing, but God had called me to preach. I wrestled all night long with it. I had the contract laying on my desk. All I had to do was take my pen and sign it, and I would be in business in Hollywood. But about daylight, God let me see thousands and thousands of people in hell pointing their bony fingers at me and saying, 'If you had come on and preached, I wouldn't be down here.' I pushed the contract aside and said, 'Okay, God, this is it. Live or die, starve or whatnot. Here it is, God, it's yours, all the way.' It's been his ever since. I don't ever question whether or not I'm going to be taken care of. That's God's business. When you surrender to be a soldier, Uncle Sam automatically becomes responsible to feed you, to clothe you, and to take care of your dependents and pay your bills. When I surrendered to the army of God, he became responsible to take care of me. I'm glad to tell you, he's done a good job of it. But when I announced to my loved ones the next morning that I was going to preach, it shook them all to pieces. When I got up to go out, I put on some decent clothes and went out to preach that morning. They'd already gotten phone calls and telegrams sympathizing with them because their son had cranked up and gone to preaching instead of going to Hollywood. My mother, God bless her, I loved her. She said, if you go preach that blankety-blank trice that would listen to preaching, don't tell anybody you came out of my womb, and don't let your dirty shadow cross the door of our house anymore. I left. I didn't know if I'd ever see them again. Right then, it didn't make any difference, Brother Ray says. Something was more important to me than they were. I left. I went to walking. I walked across the state line and got over into Tennessee. I was going down a lonely country gravel road, and I came by an abandoned one-teacher schoolhouse. The windows had rotted and fallen out. The doorstep had rotted down. The door was just hanging on one hinge. I crawled up in that old schoolhouse and said, "Well, Lord, I surrendered, and I'm going to start here." There was nobody in there except the bats and the birds and the spiders. I didn't care whether there was or not. I had to get started. When I began to hoop and holler a little about Jesus, I saw some people peeping around trees and then coming up closer and peeping in the window. By the time I got through, we had a house full. They just kept going back and getting others, and I just kept preaching. Finally, I ran out of preaching and closed out. An old white-headed man, I can never forget him. Charlie Hanna was his name. He came up and tears were running down his wrinkled cheeks, and he said, "Boy, would you go home with me for dinner?" I said, "I sure will. I have nowhere to go." He said, "Well, you have now." As we started out, he said, "Get up there on that stump and tell these folk you'll be back here to holler at them after dinner." About 3 o'clock, I did. I went home with him. We had a good dinner. When we got back, the whole house and yard was full. I got up there and preached the best I could. I found out that there were 26 families in that particular community without a Bible and without a Christian in their houses. I knew they needed preaching. I prayed and preached the best that I could to them. When I got through, Mr. Hanna said, "Come back home with me. You're going to spend the night in my house." I said, "Okay." Around the big old fireplace after supper, he said, "Son, me and the old lady here," he called his wife the old lady. She was a godly woman. "Me and the old lady have prayed for a boy all our lives. We never have been able to have one. When I laid eyes on you there in that old schoolhouse, God said, 'That's your boy.' He said, 'Do you suppose we could get your parents to let us adopt you and keep you?' I said, 'Mr. Hanna, you don't have to.' They drove me out and said, 'Never come back inside the house or on the premises. You've done got me.' He got up and hugged me and kissed me and said, 'Well, you've got a place now, son.' The next morning, he got up about daylight. We had a good breakfast. He handed me the key to his car and said, 'Now, you get in that car and go over yonder and visit them folk that need visiting. Don't you come back till dark. I don't want to see you till dark. But you get back here by night. When it starts getting dark, you be back.' I said, 'Okay.' I went out and visited and talked to them about Jesus the best I could. I led some of them to Christ. When I got back that night, he said, 'Come here, son.' He had hired a construction company to come out, and they had built a room in one day and finished it. He also called the furniture store, and they came out and put a bedroom suit in it. When I got in, he took the key and unlocked it, said, 'Son, come here. How do you like that room and that bedroom suit?' I said, 'That's so pretty.' He said, 'That's yours. Here's the key.' Then he said, 'Three times a day, there'll be meals on the table right there across the hall. And you've got the key to the car. And you go and live for God. You're my boy. And you're the old lady's boy. Go to it, son.' I left my mother and daddy to go follow Jesus. But God gave me another mother and daddy. I want you to know tonight, I'll bear testimony that what God promises is so. I've traveled all over America, And there are places all over America that I could go tonight and go in, and I'd be more welcome in the homes than I would be welcome in my own home. I could go down here and James Lockie would welcome me. I look forward when I get to come to be in meetings in West Lenora Baptist Church just to be with James and his wife and old Larry over there. He and his wife, they've told me anytime you need to come to our house to rest, come on. We'll have something to eat. And Winkler meant it when he said it. I want you to know God's got a place for me everywhere I go. He's got a home for me. He's got brothers and sisters for me. He's got some godly men and women that will take me in as a son and look after me.